Welcome to the Disc Golf Show, a podcast brought to you by Levon and Christopher Celsius. Join us as we discuss the latest in disc golf news. Well, we've made it back again for yet another episode. We did miss last week just because some very unexpected plans came up on Monday night, and the rest of the week was really busy. And so we just decided we're going to give it another week and just come back on this week. And there wasn't any big tournaments really this past weekend. So it was kind of a good weekend to just take off. We do plan to have a guest on today's episode, so stick around for that. We're going to have Luke Callahan on, and we're going to be asking him some questions and just having a conversation with him. And that should be really interesting. He has grown a fairly decent following on social media, and he's a young, talented disc golfer. So it's going to be fun to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. Solid chance you've heard about him, Disc Golf Kid on YouTube, Instagram. Yeah, he's built a pretty solid following. Just fun disc golf videos. He's played with Big Germ quite a bit. It seems like they're pretty good friends. And yeah, it's just going to be a lot of fun to talk to him about disc golf.
So I think we're just going to start out by kind of discussing some of the things in our own personal disc golf, would you say, careers or whatever that has happened the last couple of weeks. We did play in a local C tier. It was just a flex start on Saturday. It was actually four of us that are all friends. We decided to just sign up for a tee time and all play together. So that was a lot of fun. Just kind of a little bit of a casual thing. And we had a lot of fun, but we did not shoot very good. I was playing very well through nine holes, and I was on track to shoot well over 1,000 rated, a couple strokes under par, and putting for birdie. And unfortunately, on hole 10, I began to just start shanking putts all over the place, and it was really annoying. I missed about seven putts inside of 20 feet, so that was really unfortunate. I think I ended up losing the tournament by six strokes, so yeah, not the day I was looking for, but I'm back on the putting green and trying to solve those problems. But yeah, it was a really nice day, a little breezy, but we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I also didn't play very great. I just kind of got on a bad streak, and I just wasn't putting anything together. So next tournament, I'm excited about it. But I also saw that ratings updates just came out, I think today. So that's always interesting to see. But yeah, he mentioned his putting. We're actually, us and some of our friends, we're starting a 30-day putting challenge where we putt every day for 30 minutes. So this is going to be for 30 days. And this is the second day in. I feel like it's going to be really helpful. It could kind of drag on as we keep going, because it is a solid amount of time to just be putting. But yeah, I think it's going to be very good for all of our disc golf games.
Yeah, and before we forget, we should probably crack open the drinks.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. What do we got today?
Okay, so today we have, I guess you say it, Calypse lemonade, or I don't really know, but it's a really good lemonade, kind of like a natural style lemonade. I think there's a total of, there's a few ingredients, but not very many. This is a strawberry lemonade. In the regular lemonade, I believe there's only like three or four ingredients, so one of those really basic drinks. Yeah, and they're super, super good.
This I have had before, and these are good, although I don't think I've had this specific flavor.
Oh, there's the pop.
Oh yeah, that's good. That is good.
Yeah, so aside from that, we do have a few tournaments, or I guess I'm signed up for one tournament on May 21st. It's a B tier, about 4 hours away, so we'll be either sleeping in our vehicle again or finding a campground or something to stay at. And he is on the wait list for that. Is that moving at all?
It is. It did move one spot. I went from number 5 to number 4, so it's a little sketchy, but hopefully I can get in.
Yeah, so that's our next tournament.
Also, speaking of sleeping in our vehicle again, we last weekend we went to a disc golf tournament a few hours away, and we slept in our vehicle. We vlogged it. That video is hopefully going to be coming out this Friday, so stay tuned for that on the Disc Golf Coolness YouTube channel. Full video there. It was a fun weekend. And yeah, it just kind of gave us a look into what tour life is like. It was really fun. So yeah, stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and we're going to be playing in a doubles tournament, non-sanctioned, the weekend after that. So definitely some fun stuff coming up, and kind of working out the kinks in my game from the winter. The winters up here in Western New York are brutal, and so you can't really play a lot until April, and even in April, the conditions tend to be bad. So we're just hitting May and super excited for the good weather. So yeah, I feel like I'm getting close to that time where I feel like I have all the kinks worked out. All right, and we have Luke Callahan, the Disc Golf Kid, on the show right now. First of all, welcome to the show, Luke. Thank you guys for having me. Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on here. And yeah, you're our first guest, so thanks for giving it a try and seeing how it goes. So first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're doing wonderful. Great. Yeah, the weather's just kind of turning nice up here, so we're just able to finally get out a little bit more in consistent weather. So,
yeah.
So, I think right away we'll get into a couple questions that we did have from you all. So, do you have those up right now?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, you can just go ahead and ask.
So one of these, this was from Instagram. What helped you improve your putting? Because it used to be straight, trashy, horrid, and now it's buttery cash.
Was that Abel?
Yeah, it was.
I figured.
Abel underscore disc golf.
Yeah. The main thing was just reps. You know, everybody like wants to get better and they want to improve something. But until you like actually put your mind to it and decide that you're not going to do anything else or fix anything else until that one specific thing is fixed, that's what it took for me. I mean, I wanted my putting to be better, but I was always a better player off the tee, so I would do more field work or I'll go to the course and have fun with friends. And then I finally realized like I'm not going to get anywhere in disc golf until I fix my putting. So I just practiced a ton. Every single time I was at the house not doing anything, I was putting outside and working on form, not just getting reps but form, watching myself. I would record myself, watch it again, and then compare it to pros that I wanted to model my putt after. And I think that helped a lot. And now I would consider putting one of my strengths in my game.
That's awesome. That's really crazy, actually, because I would pretty much be in the same boat where it's like throwing just comes so much more natural, and I'm so much more prone to just go out in the field and just throw a bunch of discs or throw around the course or whatever, and then just get a few reps in. But if you don't set your mind to it, so that's really interesting. Was there any like specific form things that did help your putt? Or was it more general?
So I don't know if you guys know what was wrong with my putt, but basically I like had this weird muscle memory thing where I would like kind of round a lot and like swing it out to my left. I don't even know how I developed it. It was horrible. I cringe now watching like year old videos of myself putting. But one of the main things that instantly helped a little bit was keeping my left hand on the disc while pulling it back. Like if you ever watch basketball or if you ever played basketball, the non-shooting hand they use on the ball to help stabilize it, keep it in place. And I feel like it was very similar in putting for me, where that just helped me keep it on the same line the entire time, bringing it back, and then I can just pop it through. And that helped a ton, actually.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's interesting. Yeah. And yeah, because it's such a mind thing too, because if you're on the course and you shank a couple putts to the right or something like that, which I've dealt with and I'm kind of working through now, it's one or two bad putts can kind of take away the feeling of 100 good putts.
Definitely.
Real quick. And so it's, and once you have a couple bad shanks, it can take a while to to forget about them and like focus on making the putt rather than not missing it. So
for sure, disc golf is such a game of recency, I guess. Like, you could be shooting your best round ever, but if you miss one 10 footer, that's all you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee when you leave the course, you're thinking, oh, I could have been one stroke better if I just made that putt.
Yeah.
It's such a unique game.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And it can pretty much be beneficial to just like almost try to completely forget those things after they happen. Like, they happen and you maybe learn something from it, but then at least wait till after the round to think about it again if you can.
Yeah.
But it's so easy, so much easier said than done. It's when you're on the course, it's easy to just get upset and stuff. So, do you have another question?
Yeah, there's one more. What caused you to create the Boom Sauce Squad?
Well, I wouldn't say I was the only one that created it. I don't know if you guys know what the Boom Sauce Squad is, but basically, it's a group of me and a bunch of my friends. And we made like an Instagram page and we have a YouTube channel now. And we all met at Junior Worlds, or we all knew each other, but we all started hanging out at Junior Worlds last year. Mm-hmm. And we would play a bunch of practice rounds together. And then we ended up playing a tournament together and we were all there and we shared an Airbnb. And I just remember one night, I think it was my idea, but then everyone instantly loved it. And we just decided to make an Instagram because if you think about it, there's no like disc golf groups out there, I guess. Or if there are, they're not big or there's not many of them. Mm-hmm. But I was like, how cool would that be if we could be like one of the first groups of disc golfers? Like, there's a ton of YouTube groups out there, but none of them are in disc golf. And so we made an Instagram and it's super fun. A lot of my close friends are on there. There's only 7 of us, I think. And now some of my best friends to play disc golf with are all in that group. So it's very fun.
That's awesome. That does sound like a lot of fun. So can it be kind of almost an accountability thing too, where you almost keep each other going in the putting and whatever all else there is
for sure.
Practice. Yeah. That's awesome. It definitely helps to have people around you that are working harder than you or as hard as you, because if you're the only one, it doesn't take long till you can kind of get distracted and forget. But if you're, especially for us, there's 3 of us brothers that are big into it around here. So if you're in the house and you hear the chains outside banging, it's like you want to get out there and throw. So it can be really helpful to have that. But that's cool.
Yeah.
So you have your YouTube channel and you've been going to Junior Worlds and whatnot, and your game is clearly have been improving quite a bit. Like, is your ultimate goal to eventually go on tour sometime, full time, or would you rather just grow your YouTube channel to something that could be sustainable almost, or what's your dream?
So my dream is definitely disc golf, pro disc golf. I actually haven't been uploading as much on YouTube as I want to be because I took breaks. Yeah, I got so wrapped up in making sure my social media was growing and all that stuff, which is great for sponsors and it's great for a lot of other stuff. But I knew at the end of the day, I wanted to be a pro disc golfer and I wasn't going to get there just making YouTube videos and having fun on the course and doing challenges and whatnot. So I kind of put YouTube aside for a little bit and I went out to the field. I started practicing putting and my game has definitely taken a jump since doing that. And I'm so happy because at the end of the day, that's what I want to do more than YouTube. I still want to get back to making YouTube videos and I think that's super fun, but my goal is definitely professional disc golfer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes total sense. And I can totally feel you with that. It's hard to have more than one strong focus. But looking at your ratings, which isn't the best way to gauge improvement, but it is a way. So last October ratings update, you were 938, and it seems like from then on it's kind of been steadily climbing, and it kind of took a jump from there to 951. So it jumped quite a bit there. Was that kind of over the time that you would say that you would have made that change, or was it not?
Yeah, definitely. It was right around then when I decided that I wanted to pursue disc golf more than YouTube. And my rating has just kept going up. This last update, I actually went down 3 points, which I was pretty bummed about, but I played 2 horrible tournaments, so I can't be that mad. But definitely been increasing almost every ratings update since then, and I'm hoping to keep it going. I'm trying to get to 1,000 by the end of the year, so that's the main goal.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's always a good fun goal for people to have, is that 1,000 rated. I think it's the number is kind of at a good spot. It's not an easy number to get, but it's attainable. But yeah, I just saw that and looking at your ratings history, it was kind of the same for about a year, or maybe a little over a year. It was kind of in the mid 930s kind of for a long time.
Yeah.
And now I just see that the end of last year and end of this year, it's been jumping. So that's awesome. That probably feels really good to you.
It does. It definitely does.
So how far do you think you can throw by now? That's always a fun question to ask people.
I'm actually not throwing as far as I have been in the past, because I've gone out to the field and worked more on mechanics and accuracy. North Carolina golf, I'm sure, as you probably know, is a lot more technical woods golf. So I've focused less on distance and more on shot shaping and hitting lines and accuracy, touch, distance control, all sorts of stuff like that. But I'd say now, like, no wind, flat ground, if I'm throwing 10 discs as hard as I can, I'm probably going to average like 475.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And that's still enough. I mean,
it's definitely enough.
Yeah. When it comes down to
most courses.
Yeah. Right. When it comes down to it, it's not really the distance that gets you the points, but it can be nice to have a little bit of distance for some courses for sure. So have you played a decent amount of like the Elite Series courses, or like any big courses that you kind of dreamed of going to that you ended up actually going to?
Yeah, I've played Hornets Nest a lot, which is where the Pro Tour Championships is. Okay, I've played there a good bit. Mm-hmm. I've still never shot under par. It's ridiculously tough. I've played Winthrop Gold a couple times, and I actually shot 4 down there last year with the ropes up, and I was pretty stoked about that.
That's really good. Yeah.
So that was awesome. I think those are the only 2 that are on tour that actually I've played Emporia Country Club.
Okay.
Where the DDO was held. That one's a tough course, especially when it gets windy. There's so much manufactured OB. Yeah. And then I went to Worlds last year to caddy for my friend. So I played those 2 courses, Mulligan's and the Fort. And the Fort is probably top 5 courses I've ever even seen.
Really?
Disc golfing. It, like, if anyone is ever in Utah, I would 1,000% recommend you go play the Fort, because that course is so sick.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So you said you did play that course, or you just saw it?
Yeah, no, I played it.
Okay, yeah. So were you at Worlds last year?
I was, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. That's special.
I was about 50 to 60 feet away from the basket when James Conrad threw it in.
That is so
crazy. And I was recording it on my phone.
That is crazy. Oh, man.
It was so sick.
Yeah.
I remember I was standing there, and this guy, we were all talking about how he needs to throw it in to tie, because Paul was getting that up and down all day.
Yeah.
And this guy next to me pulls out his phone and starts recording. And I was like, I mean, if anyone's going to throw this in, it's probably James. He does it all the time. So then I pull my phone out and start recording, and it goes straight in. And I didn't even know what to say. I was so in shock.
Yeah. And it's kind of a funny story, because we were at a campground, and it was really annoying because the service was so bad, and we were trying to watch it live. And so we were kind of spread out around the campground trying to find good service. And it was like, well, all 3 of us brothers were trying to watch it, but we weren't really all together or anything. But I did happen to be watching it live when it happened. I just screamed out loud, and I'm pretty sure the people at the campground had no idea what was going on. But it was just one of those moments where you couldn't help but just completely freak out.
It was crazy.
Yeah. So were you rooting for James or were you rooting for Paul?
I'm a big Paul fan, and I have been since I started playing. So I was definitely rooting for Paul, but I wasn't mad that James won. Yeah. I love James. I've met him a couple of times. He's a really, really nice guy, and he threw the greatest shot of all time. So you can't be mad about that.
Exactly.
But I definitely wanted Paul to win in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. And that's definitely special to be there, because that's something that might never happen again.
Exactly.
So what is your favorite course
that I've played or that I've seen, just only courses I've played?
Well, you can do both. The favorite course you played and then dream course, kind of.
Dream course is probably the Beast in Finland, where they play the European Open. That course looks so
Yeah.
And it's always such nice weather out there, so it just looks great. Favorite course I've played is definitely the Fort in Utah that they played Worlds at.
Okay. That's awesome. Yeah, I guess on camera I never really thought of that course as like a real dream course, but it's always really hard to tell on camera what courses really look like. I mean, we've been to Iron Hill, we've been to the Waco course, what's it called? Brazos East, the Idlewild course, and like they're just it's always so different on
it is.
In person than it is on camera. Like
some
holes are easier and some holes are harder than you envision.
Right.
It's really, really interesting. But it's always so fun to like kind of see what the pros are actually going up against, because you can kind of get wrapped up in just watching them do it and like critique them for messing up or whatever. And it's like you do it yourself and you kind of get it, like why they're So yeah, that's kind of interesting. So I've heard quite some talk about about wooded versus open courses, like whatever. And it's kind of a dilemma, because the open courses are better for live spectators, for the sport, because people can kind of spread out and they can make the lines where they need to. But then the wooded courses are a lot more interesting to watch, especially for live watchers. And I think even probably in person, watching somebody lace a line is funner than watching them throw a hyzer.
Right.
So like, where do you see it going in the future with that? Like, do you think it's going to kind of keep going towards open courses, or are we going to kind of find a fine line between, or what do you think?
I really, really hope we find a fine line in between. I hope we can get to the point where disc golf is making enough money where they can like carve out separate, like not fairways, but not in the fairway next to the fairways that galleries can be. Or someone told me like a couple weeks ago, they were talking about W.R. Jackson for Champions Cup, that they should put like little tree houses up in the trees and you can watch from above. And I was like, that's very unrealistic, but if someone could pull that off, that would be so sick for spectating.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I think where we're heading right now, it's looking like we're going to have a lot of open courses in the future, which I don't like playing open courses. I mean, I don't mind it. Disc golf is disc golf. It's always going to be fun, but I would much rather play and watch a wooded course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a very good opinion, and I would probably agree with that. To me, like, for example, I don't know how you found it, but watching the DDO last weekend, to me, was just kind of boring, because it was like, well, I think the wind made it kind of worse, but it was just half the time you hardly even knew where they were throwing to, and you would kind of just listen to the commentators to know whether they were in or out of bounds. And you didn't really know if it was a good shot or a bad shot. And then, because of the wind, they were just missing all their putts and everything. And it was like, man, this is just almost boring to watch. And it's just kind of made me think about it, that wooded courses are a lot more interesting to watch.
Yeah. I think it leads for a lot more drama in wooded courses too. Like, no lead is safe coming down the stretch. when the holes are so tight, you can double bogey everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, definitely. I think
Champions Cup was so interesting to watch for me because, like, going into that back nine when it was so close, there's so many holes where you can take a double bogey and you can birdie on that same hole. Like, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes it a lot more interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And Champions Cup was very interesting. And yeah, it just, you can't even hardly lay up on some of those wooded courses. I mean,
right.
You can lay up, but you still are at risk of shanking a shot or of hitting a tree and having it kick. And like on open courses, there's always the option of pretty much just pitching up and being guaranteed a par or whatever. So
exactly.
That's definitely a valid point there. On the more about the Champions Cup, I guess, now that I think about it. So did you feel that there was like a lot of prestige in this event as much as like there would be at the World Championships? Do you think it was less, or how did that feel to you?
Personally, it didn't feel prestigious to me just because it's the first year it's there. It's still a major. I love Chris Dickerson. He seems like a super nice guy. So I'm not taking anything away from him winning that. I mean, obviously, as far as competition goes, it was the most stacked field we've ever seen in disc golf. So I think it was one of the most impressive wins in disc golf history. But I think as far as prestige goes, it just wasn't there for me, especially because that's not like a course that we see all the time. It was the first time we've seen it since 2019 Hall of Fame. But like when USDGC to me is the most prestigious of all year, because Worlds, obviously it's a world championship. Everyone wants a world championship more than they want a US championship. But Worlds is at a different course almost every single year,
mm-hmm.
which it feel less prestigious to me. USDGC has been at the same course. It's always at Winthrop Gold since like the 1980s. So it just, every single time I see them playing that course, it just touches this little spot deep down in my heart, and mm-hmm. it makes me happy.
Yeah, I totally get that. That there is something about the USDGC that is just kind of unmatched. But yeah, I watching it live, I kind of felt that it just didn't feel the same as Worlds or something like that. I mean, they're just, the commentators weren't as hyped. The crowds didn't seem that big. And I don't know why the crowds weren't big, if their tickets actually didn't sell out or if they just didn't have room for spectators. Do you know what the deal was there?
I have no idea. I was actually thinking the same thing. It didn't seem like there were much spectators.
Yeah. I mean, and like there just wasn't, there was no roar of the crowd or anything really. I mean,
right.
There was claps, but there wasn't that usual roar like there is sometimes. So that,
yeah.
But yeah, I think it'll get there. It's just every year they have it, it'll become a little bit more of a bigger deal. But yeah. I'm personally really glad they added a major. I think it was,
I am too,
something that they should have done. So that was good to see. So yeah, I think that'll pretty much wrap up our talk with Luke Callahan. Thanks for coming on. That was super fun. Just chatting with you and getting to know you a little better and learning about
you. Thank you for having me. It was fun.
You're welcome. And yeah, maybe we'll have you on again sometime eventually.
Let's do it.
We will see you later.
Next, we're going to talk about stupid wins at DDO and why are we having Worlds there?
That's literally what we're going to talk about. DDO was absolutely atrocious. Okay, that's a matter of opinion, and some of you maybe really liked it. However,
you may be fuming mad right now.
Me watching DDO was just cringeworthy and horrible. I would literally watch them throw their drive. I would have no idea what they're aiming for. They would throw. I would have no idea whether it's inbounds or out of bounds until the commentary freaks out or unfreaks out or whatever. Sometimes I wouldn't know at all for a while. And then they would go to putt and they would just miss all their putts because it was so windy and it was just so boring to watch. I personally was pretty bored by it. However, it was still a great event, and congratulations to Ricky for taking down the Hurricane Open in 2022.
Yeah, exactly. What I just want to know is, how did this event ever become so prestigious if it's just this crazy wind? nothing dumbness.
Because it's not always this bad. It's always windy, and it's always like this to some degree, but it's not always near this bad. And it's a good prestigious event because it's been going for a while, and they just do a really good job running it, and people just come. And it's also a four-day event, which does make a difference. But enough of fuming. Well, actually, not quite. So yeah, Worlds is going to be there. Hopefully, it's not as windy. I hope so bad it's not as windy, because I do not want to watch that for Worlds. That would just be horrible. But yeah.
And also, just getting a world title in that wind is just—it just feels kind of like, what is this?
Yeah, because your trophy is going to blow over.
That too. That too. No, it's just like, when it's that windy, it just feels like you're playing Plinko. It's just luck or something.
It's like putting...
It's still going to be a world title, but like...
Yeah, I don't know.
Who can throw the most overstable discs? Like, what? That's not what the world title is about.
Well, the Discmania dudes, because they can throw the tilt.
Exactly. So I guess Kyle Klein, Simon Lazar, Eagle McMahon, world title for them. All right.
Speaking of them, Simon Lazar came in second place. This was the most awesome thing about the whole event. It was just lovely to my heart to see that Simon Lazar is finally back on the top of the leaderboards and really kind of battling for the win. I mean, after hole 13, he brought it to within 5 strokes. So yeah, it was a ball game, nevertheless. But he was behind 7 strokes going into the final round. So that was super glad to see Simon at the top. I hope he stays there. I hope he keeps playing well. And I hope he actually pulls off a win one of the times. I think that would be cool. Vino Macula, however you say that, in third place.
Probably not like that, but yeah.
However, the third place tie was pretty big. Vino Macula, Aaron Gossage, Logan Harpel, Jakin Hebenheimer, I think is how you say it. Brody Smith. Hebenheimer, he does like this weird side putt where he actually brings the disc down to the right of him, like it to the right of his entire body, and pulls it past his body and swings it up. They call it like the dad putt or something. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, he actually does that for his legit putt, and it's crazy. There's definitely some more notable mentions here. Brody Smith. Sheesh. So to all the haters of Brody Smith and all the people that are saying, or that used to say, he's never going to have a top 10 finish, he's never going to even have top 25, he's never going to this and he's never going to that, well, you can just shut up, because Brody Smith just got a podium finish, and this is only his third season on the Pro Tour. He just started disc golf like 3 years ago. That is so impressive. And yeah, I just think we need to remember how far he's come and how short of a time, and I think it's really impressive. And he kind of shut up all his haters. So yeah. Is he ever gonna win one? No. No. He's never gonna win one. However, he did show that he could. And he also showed that he's gonna be in contention again sometime. So yeah. That's definitely, I mean, he was right there. If he would have shot a 7 under, he'd have been 2 back. So yeah, right there, even for the final round. Other notable mentions. First of all, Kyle Klein, definitely one that we have not seen as a top much this year at all so far. So I personally was really glad to see that he did a little bit better at this one. I'm trying to bring up his previous events, and I'm having an awful hard time of it. This is his best finish of the year so far in Elite Series events. He had he was tied for 13th at this event. He had a 10th at Music City Open, which was a Silver Series, and he had a 5th at Belton, which was also a Silver Series. Silver Series. Aside from that, his best finish was 16th. Point being, this was his best of the season so far. There's been talk of Kyle Klein not having a great season and on and on. However, this is very, very early season. We've been playing some of the lamer courses, in my opinion, like Dynamic Disc Open. And I think he's going to rise to the top. So going down over the leaderboards of the DDO here, I see I also see Gannon Burr here again, and I'm just going to open up his profile. This guy. We talked about him in our last episode, and he just went out and got another top 10 finish. So he has had all top 10 finishes except for at Waco and Belton. So he had 6 top 10 finishes this year so far, and 4 of them were at Elite Series. So, man, he's killing it. He's just doing so good, and I really wonder if he's gonna pull off a win this year. It'd be hard to imagine, but I think he could the way he's playing. And he was also tied with Kyle Klein. Nathan Queen. Oh my goodness, I did not know he was up here at the top. He's tied for 13th. Nathan Queen is. So yeah, that's one of his best, probably his best finish since the Pro Tour Championships last year. Is that what it's called? Pro Tour Championships. Yes, it definitely was. So Las Vegas, he DNF'd. And then he had a 57th at Waco, 90th at Texas State, 17th at Music City, 51st at PDGA Champions Cup, 59th at Play Canada, and 13th at Dynamics. So definitely his best finish. So that's definitely a notable mention.
What about this Bartosz Kowalewski? Who is this guy?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard his name.
Literally, like, 100% Circle 1X putting in that crazy wind.
Just incredible. You say what?
100% Circle 1X putting.
Well, not for the tournament, but yeah, okay.
Well, for the last round.
Whatever. Yeah, he was 80% Circle 1X, and that was not even near the top. But yeah. It would be interesting to see who did have the best putting. And I don't even know how to look at that, to be honest. So moving on down the leaderboards, we'll go a little bit farther here. Casey White, another decent finish, tied for 30th. But yeah, those are kind of the notable mentions. I didn't watch this event as much live because it was so boring. I didn't watch any post-produced either, and maybe I will eventually someday when I'm bored driving or something. But it was just literally boring. But yeah, it was just because of the wind mainly, and hopefully World is going to be a lot better. Also, I am definitely looking forward to the next event, which is OTB Open, and that is on the 20th through 22nd of May. It's the Santa Cruz Master Cup, that is before then, and that is this coming weekend. What's the date?
The date is May 9th.
Yeah, so that would be this coming weekend.
The date is May 10th. Santa Cruz Master Cup.
However, that is a Silver Series event. Oh, it's a Silver Series event. But Paul McBeth is playing. Ricky is playing.
Wow, that's
Gannon interesting. Gannon Burr, James Conrad. A lot of the good players. Series. Pretty much all the good players there. So, I mean, just the fact that Paul and Ricky are there says something.
Yeah,
Adam Hammes, Anthony Brella, and all the good guys are pretty much going to be there. So that's going to be a good event. Definitely looking forward to that one. More wooded course again. The OTB Open golf course. I could see Igor Simon doing good on that. So one thing I did notice was Kevin Jones has been stagger putting this year, which is really wacky cake. I just don't know. Like, I've seen it a bunch of times, and I haven't really seen him straddle putt. So I don't know if he's actually switched or if it's just this fluky thing. But also, his putting is not good. It just looks kind of. For one thing, he doesn't look very confident when he steps up to the putting green. So he was 24th in Circle 1X. I'm going to look at his. So percentages for the year in putting. Circle 1 X putts. He's 84%, which is 26th. So definitely not real good. Circle two putts, and he's known for circle two putts. He's 41st. I'm going to go to the 2021 season. He was 29%. So I guess not just a lot better, but definitely a little bit. I don't know. I guess his putting hasn't sank too bad, but it just doesn't seem as confident. Gavin Rathbun was on feature card, and it was kind of fun to see him out there again. However, his shoulder injury did act up again, and he actually ended up quitting in the first round. And that was too bad. Also, Tristan Tanner and Matt Orm had to quit because of COVID. Tristan Tanner was playing really good, actually, and ended up having to quit. So that was too bad. I don't really know the details there, who's enforcing that or what, but yeah, that was kind of too bad to see.
Actually, Kona Panis and Colton Montgomery also quit because of COVID. Or for sure, Kona Panis. I know Colton got it. I don't know if he got it during the tournament, but they're actually still recovering now. So yeah, they also.
So yeah, going to the DNFs. Colton Montgomery is on the list of DNFs. So
yeah, so it must.
However, I did not see Tristan Tanner here, but he definitely did DNF. So unless this is just going by round, that could be.
Yeah, it says Tristan Tanner
DNF. Yeah, it is going by round. Paul Ulibarri also DNF'd.
It's kind of interesting Tristan looking at DNFs.
Gavin Rathbun.
There's always kind of someone surprising.
To a lot of good players in the DNFs. But yeah. Also, it was kind of a funny thing happened during the live. Matthew Orm. So, I believe this is a new rule. I'm not sure on that. But when you go OB, normally you would take your disc, or your lie would be, or you can take your lie a meter straight in from the out of bounds. So straight away from the out of bounds, you can take your mini and put a meter from the out of bounds line and go from there. However, apparently they made a rule that you can go, so you figure out where your disc went out of bounds and you put a marker right on that line, right on the OB line right there. And then you can put your mini anywhere within a meter of that. So you can go perpendicular. You can go up the line of up the OB line a meter, or to the side, I guess I should say, a meter to the left or to the right, or you can go out a meter. Also, if you go to the right a meter, you can also go out a meter. So yeah, it's very complicated and I can't really explain it very good over audio, but they were telling Paul Macbeth and Gavin Rathbun and some others were telling Matt Orm this rule. And it really did benefit him this time because it kind of opened up a window for him to putt. And he was just kind of joking around and he said he should make a series on rules on YouTube or something. So I didn't think that was a good idea because he doesn't seem to know the rules real well. Yeah. All right, I think that pretty much wraps up our DDO talk. Let's get into the next segment. So in this next segment, we're going to be going over the disc golf world rankings. But first of all, before they do that, I just want to ask a question. Ratings. What's your take on ratings?
I would say I'm a fan of ratings. I like them because they just kind of, you know, you see a disc golf player, what's your rating? It's kind of a bad question. No, I don't know. They just give you a good idea of how good somebody is, because if we wouldn't have, just think about it, if we wouldn't have ratings, like, you see someone playing, and you know who they are or whatever, there's no way to gauge really how good they are. So I think they are useful, and I like them, but yeah, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I really like them for classifying local players. It is a good way to kind of for people to know what division they should be playing in. And it's just a good thing to a good incentive. And just, I don't know. I think it's really cool that we can have a ranking system like that for every single player if they're willing to sign up for the PDGA. So I like that aspect of it. And I think it's relatively accurate. However, when it comes to world rankings and people using it as a world ranking system, I think we need to just drop that idea and just completely forget that. And at the same time, though, I really like the idea of having rated rounds, because if everyone just would just have a world ranking and we wouldn't have ratings, then we wouldn't have any ratings for our rounds. And so I think it's really nice if we can have ratings for the rounds, too, because yep. It really means something if you shot 1090 rated round. So that's kind of my take on it. But anyway, all that aside, let's get into the world rankings. So, yeah. Ricky Wysocki is still at the top. Okay, how often do they update? Okay, so they updated May 8th, UDisc world rankings, and that's what we're going by here. Ricky Wysocki still on the top. Paul McBeth, Chris Dickerson, those are the top three. Yeah, so Paul McBeth still in second place, even after the really bad finish at DDO. I see Kyle Klein is in the top 10. I don't know if that was always there or not. Or if it was there last time. It doesn't show if they came up or down, which I'm not sure why it's not. But yeah, Gannon Burr in at ninth. That's incredible. He's pretty much neck and neck with Kevin Jones. Simon Lazat, he definitely came up the world rankings. He is in 11th place now. So that's rather impressive. He's besting a lot of good players. James Conrad, Adam Hammes, Joel Freeman, Nicolo Castro. Those are all very notable names that, are worth mentioning. And now I'm going to go the whole way to the bottom of the rankings. Jared Stoll. Yeah, I don't know that guy. Kristen Tatar is just dominating over here in the FPO division. But yeah, Paige Pierce, second place. Katrina Auden, third. So yeah, Kristen, Paige, Katrina, pretty much a typical top three there. Haley King, Missy Gannon, neck and neck. And they're a decent amount behind. Katrina Allen there. Valerie Manduhana, she has kind of been a talk a lot recently, and she's been having a spectacular season, and she still does not have a finish outside of the top 10, and that's crazy. I don't know if any other player could say that or not. Yeah, Kristen Tatar could. But yeah, it's just definitely a very good season from her. I think that pretty much wraps up our world ranking stock. Let's move on to the next segment.
Bad stats.
You guessed it. Welcome to Bad Stats. I don't know. This is probably my favorite segment just because it's awesome.
This is where we just loosen up and talk trash mainly.
Yeah, so just to clarify, we're going to talk trash. So we're going to pick a random player. This is random. So we're not picking on anybody until we pick them. Then we'll pick on them. But we're not picking out anybody
we're
to pick on.
We're not targeting any specific
so
person.
So with just random person that played badly, we're gonna ring you out. So
and this is for Dynamic Discs Open.
So what are the rules for this?
The rules are, I forget. What are the rules?
I do too. That's why I ask you.
Yeah. Yeah, so the rules are that you go down. Oh, they have to be 50th or worse. And then.
So in this case.
So 50.
So in this case, they had a cut. So there is only 50 players. So
we're going to have to go back more.
Yeah, let's go to round three.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to round three. So 50th to. I guess we won't count DNFs. So 50th to 106th.
103rd.
100.
Is it 6?
6. That's what I'm seeing.
That's not what I'm... That is what I'm seeing. Lance Brown. Anyway, so 50 to 106.
Okay. And then we get Siri to pick a number between 50 and 106.
And then we go ring that person out.
Yeah, and if there's a tie, we just pick between them.
Give me a number between 50 and 106. You heard it. The answer is 90. That is a high number. We are going slow scroll to 90. Okay. We are scrolling to 90.
Charles Moore.
And there is no tie. That's awesome.
No tie.
Charles Moore, you are about to get ringed out.
All right, so there we go. Profile picture.
Last time it was actually a very familiar player. It was, who was it last time?
It was Zach Melton.
Zach Melton, of course. So Charles Moore, you really stink at disc golf. Let's see what he did bad in. So his circle 1X putts, 56%. So he's about 50, he's like making half of his putts inside the circle. Which means he was 112. but yeah, that's not good. That's not good at all. Birdie rate also 112, 7%. He got not many birdies. He didn't get any birdies in round three.
And you want to hear his park percentage?
Yeah.
Zero.
That's 0%. Disgusting.
101st place.
But he wasn't even the worst place in park percentage.
How's that possible?
I have no idea. But anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I see. Yeah, he was 112th in circle.
He missed a whole bunch of putts, and he didn't park anything, which is a bad combination. Because if you're not making any putts, then you need to park stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why he didn't get any birdies in the third round.
7%.
He got a total of 4 birdies.
4 birdies. So, wow.
That's awful.
41% bogey or higher. And he got 2 triple bogeys. 6 double bogeys. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. Thankfully, he didn't get anything worse than a treble bogey, but man, he was really shredding it up out there. That's, wow. Yeah. I mean, so, just awful. Charles Moore, you stink. And with that, I think we're pretty much going to close out the episode. Like I said, coming up, we have Santa Cruz Masters Cup. So that's going to be a good event for sure. And hopefully we will be back again next week with another episode, and we will be talking about all things Santa Cruz Master Cup, I guess.
And all the other random disc golf topics we have.
And we don't have anybody scheduled right now. We aren't working on it either. I guess we'll see if we come up with anybody or not. But nevertheless, we are going to have fun.
Yeah, and we'll see you then.
We will see you in the next episode.